Today we are going to be talking about living beyond the rules. Most of us today have a mindset in which we have learned to follow the rules. In fact, as we're younger, that's one of the first things that life teaches us, is that if we follow the rules, then things will go well. But what happens when the rules consistently change? And what happens when the rules continue to be brought low to the point where rules no longer even stop us from doing things that are wrong or even evil? Well, one of the things that we can all agree on here today is that what part of living beyond the rules means striving beyond expectations. Some of you might know these words that are on the screens. The Boy Scout Oath and the Cub Scout Promise. The Boy Scout Oath saying, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." The Scout purposes include and move into the understanding of the oath. The Scouts exist to develop character in young people, to help them to deal with respectful relationships so that they can respect themselves and respect others. They help with spiritual growth and personal achievement, and they seek to create good citizens who are willing to give of their service in a friendly and, dare we say it, loving fashion. Yes, there's fun and adventure. There's sportsmanship and fitness. But the integrity, the respect, the care, the faith, and the cooperation that is instilled in the Scout is what America needs in order for America to be great. I've always loved the Scout program primarily because it has so many touch places with the church itself. We exist to develop character also. We exist to make sure that the values of our membership are values that exceed expectations. We want to be better than normal. In today's world, what used to be taught all around us is now only taught in certain areas. What used to be normal is now considered to be Herculean. We are living in a world in which basic civility is not always offered to each other. And all we have to do is turn on the television to see that the old principles of America seem to be eroding around us. Now you must be great, even to be good. The call from Scripture and from Jesus is to not simply remain like other people, or even like other good people, but to strive daily to be better. When we strive to be better than normal, when we strive to learn more than the average person, when we strive to take the extra step to help someone who hasn't asked us, to assist in ways that other people might not, to reach out in love and care to someone that another person might have ignored, then we are following the example of Jesus in our lives. The passage of Scripture that you read today continues. We shortened it for today's purpose. But I'd highly recommend that you read through chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus begins with this in our scripture today as a series of questions that he frames by saying this: "You have heard that it was said, but I tell you." What he does with it is he tells us first what the expectation is of the world around you. You have heard that it was said, do not murder. But I tell you, do not even call someone a fool. Now that is a call to go one or more steps beyond the expectation. Certainly, we could all be in agreement today that murdering people is wrong. But how many carelessly throw around slander or words that hurt? I could tell you this. In looking around this room, I can pretty much guarantee that none of you have been murdered. Oh, hands up that haven't been murdered. Okay. Can I get hands, everyone? Okay. Some of you, I know you look a little worse than others. But I also can pretty much promise that some of you have had someone call you a bad name or have said something that hurt your feelings. That you've been injured, that you've been hurt, that you've been wounded in a way that you truly wanted to lash out. In today's world, it is not only easy to have our feelings hurt, but there are an enormous amount of platforms that can do it to us and for us, right? We can't seem to run away from all of the hateful and the difficult words that people say. Jesus tells those who would follow him that the world might say that hatred begins at murder, but I am telling you that the hatred that would result in just saying raka, which is a slur of that time, just saying, you fool, which is normal in all times. I mean, how many times do you drive down the road and see idiots and fools driving around you? And we are quick to call them both, aren't we? We call it road rage when someone acts on their feelings, right? But it's the words that we use that are the first action. If we can learn to control our tongue, we can learn to control our lives. Some people put rules in what you can say, don't they? They try to close down the opportunities to hurt someone's feelings. But you know what? I can promise you this. They will find new ways to address how to hurt somebody. They just change the words. My kids recently told me to look up a website called Urban Dictionary. If you've ever gone to the Urban Dictionary, what you'll find is what all these words that us as older parents, I'm an older parent, okay? But all these words that you hear said, look them up sometimes. You'll be surprised what they mean. And your kids might be surprised too. Because as we've set rules against words that we've said, no, that word can't be used anymore, you know what we've done? We've just created new words to say the same ugly things. Because the problem isn't the word as much as the heart. Jesus is calling us to live beyond the expectations of our world. Not because we have to. Not because it's wise to do so. but because it makes our lives and the lives around us better. You see, when we live better, the people around us live better. When we do for others, our world becomes a brighter place. And Scouts, you daily do for others, don't you? You have service projects. You know, the Scouts have done a lot around the grounds of this church. They've raked leaves for us. They've helped us with some landscaping and some things. You know, just picking up sticks in the back. You help us. And it's my prayer that we also are helping you. Body of Christ, members of the church, those who would follow Jesus, those who would seek for a better world, these are the instructions to do so. Do not judge yourself as the world judges, but hold yourself to a higher level. Live a better life. Move beyond the expectations of the world and do whatever you can to never respond to hate with hate, to never respond to anger with anger. Dr. King once told us that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out darkness. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Dr. King understood his New Testament. And he knew that what he was telling the people was not really his words, but they were God's words. Our responsibility in a contentious and difficult world, a world in which you can find an enemy quicker than you can find a friend, is to remember that light shines in the darkness and that love casts out all fear. Living better makes the world around us a greater place. It's something that we do not in big ways and in big things, but it's what we do in the little things in life. And I want to just remind you that a smile and a handshake, a hug before you leave the house, all of those things make the world a little brighter. And they start in our homes. They start in our churches. They start in our communities, and they grow from there. It's sad sometimes because in today's world, we don't always know our neighbors in the way that our grandparents did. But we have an opportunity to reach out and show God's love in greater ways. Now, Jesus closes this section by telling the people to settle their matters quickly. And if they have a disagreement, go before they go to the altar, leave their gift, and then go and make up with the person. Forgive them. Deal with the circumstances that is striking them, that is separating them. You want to do some big things in today's world? Start there. You know, part of the difficulty of life is that people who are wounded wound. There's an old saying, it says, hurt people hurt people. And unfortunately, when we've been wounded, when we've been injured, the only thing that makes us feel good is to injure someone else. There's an old story self-help guru, I believe it was Zig Ziglar, told. And he told the story of kicking the cat. Guy comes home, cat gets underfoot, and he kicks the cat. Okay? It's a story that you might have heard before, and it might have taken place in your house. work frustrates you, gets you mad, and you got to take it out on somebody. The original story actually had a progression. Husband comes home, yells at his wife. Wife reprimands the kids. Kid kicks the cat. Everyone's got to lash out at somebody, right? But at the end, the cat's just minding his own business. So is the kid. So is the spouse. And on you go. Somewhere along the way, someone has to take responsibility for the cat getting kicked. What I'm telling you today is it's our job to do that. If you can't bring yourself to forgive, then what you have to do is you have to recognize what God has done in your life, what God has already forgiven in you. There's a lot of people who have done a lot of bad things. And I could name the bad things that have happened to me. But the things that really caused me to lose sleep is when I remember the bad things that I've done to others. And whenever I think about someone who has hurt me, I remember the times that I've hurt others. Whenever I've done that, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do, but we have to address it. We have to go and talk to somebody and apologize. At some point, it means being bigger, doesn't it? We say, I'm sorry. And then we put ourselves at risk in doing so. You see, in today's world, you never admit that you're wrong in court, do you? To admit that you're wrong means that someone can attack you for that. But Jesus turns it around and says, you go and you plead forgiveness before you ever get to the courtroom. You put yourself at risk before it ever gets to the law. You become different than the world around you. Now, you've all heard this before. It's from 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? One of the most difficult things that has happened in the church over the last decades, it's been part of the church for hundreds of years, not just tens. But one of the most difficult things is that the temple of God hasn't always been clean. And at times we haven't acted different. All organizations can say that and can remember that. But part of knowing that we haven't always been righteous is to know that the call is still to be righteous and godly. Because God dwells in us through the Holy Spirit, that we are the temple of God. We are the place that oftentimes people see as safe. And when you go to someone who you believe is trustworthy, who you think is going to be forgiving and loving, and they don't give you that, it can hurt even more, can't it? Church, I want to apologize for any time that I haven't been a safe place. And I want to hopefully inspire in you an attitude that none of us are perfect in God's sight. And the wise ones of us are not perfect in our own. Listen to what Jesus has to tell us. Because we've all been guilty of calling someone a fool, recognizing the mistake and sometimes even reveling in the error of someone else. The kid answers the wrong question and we giggle a little bit. Raca. Fool. God wants something more from us. And in today's world, in which fool is a word that doesn't even show up on the radar of most of our lives, we use it so casually. Recognize the world could use a little more love, a lot more forgiveness, and better, more civil people. Scouts, listen to your leaders and grow every day. Church, let's make it better in this world by living up to the expectations that Jesus has in our lives, by seeking forgiveness when we fail to live up to those expectations, and doing our best to live in community one with the other. After we have completed worship, after we have said all of our amens, we then go back to life. We get in a car, we strap on the seatbelt if we follow the law, and then we drive home yelling at the fools around us. Let's do it different this time. And let's find a way this afternoon and in the mornings to come to serve God in love and to show that love to your neighbor in all that you do. Let's pray for each other as we seek to do God's will. Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us to be better, to seek a greater life, to look forward to an opportunity to serve you in a deeper way. Lord God, I acknowledge those times, the many, many times when in my life my mind has gone to the other with scorn. And those times when I've said hurtful words, Lord God, forgive us. And help us to be ambassadors of your love and peace. Help us to see others as you see others, and help us to treat others as you would have us treated. Lord God, help this temple and the temples that dwell around us to be clean and worthy of your Spirit. And as we live in you and for you, help us to change the atmosphere and the character of our world, bringing peace and light and love. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. And the people of God said, amen, amen.